Good morning. Kathy and Judy here. Judy and I talked the other day. Judy's in Arizona, and we talked.
We're 36, not 38.
Right. Judy said something like, it's 48 and raining here in Arizona. And I said, oh, it's 46 and raining here in Chicago. So
right.
Despite the geographical separation, we were pretty much in the same place.
And wearing the same kinds of clothes.
Exactly. I have two confessions to make.
Okay. Yeah.
One is I bought 3 Powerball tickets. Bought them online. That was easy.
How much is it worth now?
Like $800 million. It'll be up to $1 billion.
Uh-huh.
So it's
worth having.
With everybody else. I'm setting up a foundation, and it's all, you know, everybody I love is going to get everything paid off. And so I bought 3 lottery tickets online, which made it really, really easy. I didn't have to stand in line anyplace. And the other one was, and you may already know this, I went to the opera yesterday and I left at intermission.
So you saw Bel Canto.
Well, I saw half of Bel Canto.
Okay. And remember when we talked to Ann Patchett and she
yes.
said it could never be a movie because of the problems with the language.
Right.
Because it's about all these people from different countries who
right.
are trapped for a while.
Well, and it has been made into an opera that I think has been pretty well received. The language problem is eliminated because of the super titles.
Right.
At the Lyric Opera, they put translations above. And thankfully, they even do it when people are singing in English, because half the time when people are singing in English, I can't understand what the hell they're saying anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my thing. Judy, you knew me. There was a period of time, I think it was in the 90s, when I was hanging out with cultured people. Was hanging out with
people of
Maida Burger and Greg Cameron and Jan Harper.
But you weren't pretending to be cultured. You were writing about a lot of these people too, right?
No, I was kind of pretending to be cultured.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, they all went to the opera and invited me to join their group in buying season tickets for the opera. And it was interesting because some of the pieces I loved and some of the pieces I hated.
But you had to sit with them, didn't you?
I know. So now I'm 70. I'm not in my 50s anymore, and I don't give a rip. I was with 3 other people, all very cultured people. They were thoroughly enjoying it. 312-981-7200 is our number. Would you leave a theatrical production? Would you leave the opera? Would you leave something at intermission because you were not really enjoying it that much? And I think there's age at a certain level says, you know what? You've lost your money. Don't lose the rest of your time. You don't have to sit here for another hour and a half if you're not enjoying it.
That's an interesting, I can't say rationalization, but it is true. And I would, and if it was something
you would what, leave or stay?
I would leave.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm with somebody who loves it,
mm-hmm.
I would go to sleep.
Okay. Do a cup.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it was a beautiful production. It was a beautiful set. Obviously, all the singers were very talented. But I went on NPR to see if there had ever been a discussion about it, and there had, about leaving a theatrical production. I think there was a time when I was writing for the Tribune and I would see theatrical productions that were really small, maybe in a theater that had 60 seats.
Trap.
And if you left, right, if you left at intermission, it was pretty, everybody was aware of it. I don't think anybody, except my friends, knew I left because I was up in the balcony and wasn't like I was leaving a main floor seat or anything. But I'm interested in what our girlfriends have to say. Did I commit a terrible sin, a terrible cultural sin? Or is that something that you would do as well? Here's Jane. Hi, Jane.
I walked out of my favorite pianist 3 weeks ago. I walked out of annoying church services.
Okay, in the middle of a church service, or was there an intermission?
No, during, like, the singing part.
Okay.
Why? What was bothering you about it?
Life is too short to sit there and be annoyed by bad singers and people who make weird noises and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah. I'm with you. Were you with people?
The person I was with was all, my husband. He was all for it, too.
So you left together?
Yes. We've walked out of Old Town School of Music things, and we've also walked out of jazz clubs when things went a little too high or low on the scale.
Okay. All right. So you don't have a problem with it?
None whatsoever.
All right. I'm sure we're going to find somebody, and we would love to hear from you if that would be sacrilege to you, if leaving a production, the NPR discussion about it, one of the women said, well, my son is an actor, and if they come back after intermission and see empty seats, it's very discouraging. And I say, well, then
blame
make it,
on
it
the
better.
Playwright. I think blame it on the playwright if you're an actor. You know, don't blame it on your performance.
Or the production. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think if you're an actor and you look out at the house after intermission and half of the seats are empty, you have to think, ooh, maybe I could have done better. Or I don't know.
That's not like you to take something on that could have been something else. You would blame it on you, like you would feel guilty, even if it was like.
I'm not great at feeling guilty, but I think, I think certainly if people start to listen to our show and then leave, we don't know, we can't see the empty seats. I would think, no, you're right. I wouldn't. I would think, oh, tough.
What's the matter with them?
Yeah, what's wrong with you? This is Theon. Hi, Theon.
Hi. How are you?
All right. Thanks. Walking out of a show.
Right. It was at least 20 years ago when Les Miserables first came to the Chicago area.
Okay.
All I heard was raves and reviews about it. I knew nothing of what it was about. And my husband got tickets, and we went for our anniversary. And it was so dark, and we were upper balcony way in the back. Had a hard time understanding, and we left. And we're used to, and I no longer will buy tickets without knowing 100% of what it is about.
Well, I think that's smart. I mean, because certainly Les Mis tickets are not without their considerable cost.
Right. But now, it was, and I don't know a person who told me that I was wrong and I should have stayed. Everybody raves about it. But,
did you stay long enough to see the red flag waving?
Oh, please. It was 20 years ago, whenever. It was a long time ago. I don't recall.
What about this, Dion? Oh, that makes me think of Eddie Redmayne.
Singing the songs
of everything.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. There we go. Okay.
Great. Maybe had I known what it was about going in like that, but I prefer the Happy Peppy.
Okay, wait a minute. Do you know what Les Miserables, do you know what the translation of that is?
No.
The Miserables. M-I-S,
the Miserables?
Well, miserable, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would.
Oh, okay. That's just
okay, wait. I want
hint.
To ask Theon this question. Have you subsequently heard the music, and lots of times with a big play like that, you can't understand all the words, but the music so scoops you up. Have you ever heard the music since and thought well of it?
Well, I have heard a few of the songs, and I thought, lovely. But I have no desire to go to dark. I want something peppy. When I go to the theater, I want to be happy and joyful and live like that,
What's the one? Thank you, sir. May I have another? What's that one? About the miserable children. What is it? Mike, what is it?
Is that Annie?
Oliver.
Is that Oliver?
Right, Oliver. With an exclamation point.
And I've seen Oliver. And I've seen Annie.
Wait a minute. You've seen Oliver, and you didn't think that was dark?
No.
Oh, my God.
It ended up being...
With the dead hooker? Oh, I'm sorry. Spoiler alert.
If you don't know Oliver, just by now...
I don't recall that either, you know. There's so many, but...
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, thanks, Theon.
Well, thank you, girls. Have a great day.
Thanks. 312-981-7200. We're talking about leaving a production, whether it's opera, musical, a straight play, Goodman, Steppenwolf, just saying, I'm not staying here another hour.
Doesn't work for me.
Right. That's interesting. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com. Kathy and Judy back. Yesterday, I went with some friends to see the operatic version of Bel Canto, a book that we loved that was one of our radio readers' selections several years back, and I wasn't digging it. I think the thing about a lot of contemporary operas is that I am not sophisticated enough to appreciate music that's a little dissonant, music that doesn't flow like the classical operas do. And that sounds like they're making it up as they go along, which I know they're not because they rehearsed for 10 years.
And the words are right up there.
Exactly. So anyway, 312-981-7200. This is Marie. Hi, Marie. What did you leave?
We left a show, and I believe it was Mikhail Baryshnikov. It might have been one of those other
boy LA dancers,
guys.
Right.
It was Interpretive Movement.
Okay. Not
it
your
was
thing.
Horrible.
Well, did you know you were going to see Interpretive Movement as opposed to a full ballet?
No, we did not.
Uh-huh.
No.
So, again, did that involve dissonant music?
It was, yeah, sort of. It was a while back. I can't remember, but at intermission, the four of us looked at each other and started laughing.
We're out of here.
Do you want to hear a piece of gossip about him?
Sure.
So
yes.
One day, Aaron and I went to the ballet, and somebody around us had really bad BO, so I looked behind me to see who it was. It was old Mikhail.
Oh, it was Baryshnikov?
It was Baryshnikov.
Oh, he's so European. Or so Russian.
Oh, hell.
Anyway.
Been here 20 years.
Thank you, Marie.
Oh, you're welcome.
From the text lines, one of our girlfriends says, I know I'm in the minority on this, but I thought the Book of Mormon, oh, I just lost it, I'm sorry, but I thought the Book of Mormons was an awful mean play. Wished I would have left at intermission. Just think jokes about female mutilation are disgusting. Well, yeah, they are.
It's kind of a hard category.
But they were funny. Lion King, last night, wanted to leave at intermission. It was so hot. And this, from 815, saw Bel Canto last Tuesday. Several around us left. My friend put her coat over her head and slept. By the end, I was repeating, die already. Horribly disappointed. This is Julie. Hi, Julie.
Hi. We are season ticket holders at Drury Lane Theater.
Okay.
And we have been for years, but in most of their productions are really, really good. We could not sit through Peter and the Starcatcher. We had to leave at intermission. We just couldn't figure out who the audience was supposed to be. There were a lot of jokes about Path and Gas, and it was an adult play, but with some kid humor, and we just couldn't get into it. And,
okay, so you are not... You figure you paid for your seats, you can occupy them or not.
Time in life is just too precious, and if you are not enjoying yourself, you should get up and leave.
Okay.
Now, another catch is that we were in the second row.
Oh.
And if we weren't sitting up that close, we would have sat there and just enjoyed each other, maybe made out a little bit. But we just, you know what I mean? It's like we could almost see their eye color.
Right.
And I almost felt guiltier not laughing at some of their humor because we were so close to them than sitting there and looking like I was waiting to be entertained.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Julie.
I would die if I saw someone making out in the theater.
Yeah, I would too. This is Marty. Hey, Marty. Marty?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
What'd you leave?
Well, many years ago, my wife and I met another couple downtown to see Nicholas Nickleby, which was a back-to-back night, two nights, and it was a total of about 7 hours. And after the first intermission, the first night, which everybody else except myself was kind of sleeping. I said, do you guys want to leave? And nobody wanted to. I think the cost of the tickets kept them from leaving. So I said, well, you know what? I'm going to go across the street to the Palmer House and get something to drink, and I'll wait for you there. And then the second night, since my wife wasn't big on driving downtown, I had to drive her down there and go into the hotel, and I waited again while they saw the second half of the show, and to top it all off, on the way home, someone rear-ended me. So it was a real great theater experience.
But you've been sitting there drinking for three and a half hours as the designated driver.
Well, no, it was mainly coffee. Actually, they asked me in the hotel what I was doing there because I was sitting there for, you know, the second half of the show, the first night and the whole next night. But anyway, it was so boring for the first 2 hours that I just couldn't see another 5 hours.
Yeah, I remember Nicholas Nickleby. It was in the 80s, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, thanks for the call. And this hilarious text from 815, I'm a former orchestral musician. There were times I wanted to leave when I was playing. I don't perform anymore. The thought of being stuck playing music that I don't like is just not an option at this stage of my life. Not exactly opera music. I just wanted to do two follow-up texts to our conversation of the last half hour. I admitted that I left at intermission of Bel Canto. I just wasn't digging it. And one of our 708 girlfriends said, Lyric Season subscribers for more than 25 years, for me, Bel Canto was time I'll never get back. And then another one, apparently from the church lady in 312. So is a church performance one is critiquing? Interesting. I thought it was about a relationship with our Lord. Well, you know what? You can hate the music. Come on. Anyway, so we're Kathy and Judy again. Our number is 312-981-7200.
So I just heard in last half hour's ad, or just American Weatherman.
Home of the, yeah.
Okay.
We won't be comfortable until you are.
Well, what they said was, remember, that's how I met you, the woman says.
Right.
That's how I met you when you came to fix my American weather. And
I think she said furnace, but right. Right.
And I thought, Jackie Machard. Because Jackie Machard married the carpenter that she had hired.
So did Abra Anderson.
Who did?
Abra Anderson, the heiress?
Yeah.
Right.
Who'd she marry?
His name was Jim, but he was the carpenter.
He was the carpenter?
Right, a cabinet maker or something, right.
And I just wondered how many people, you know, perhaps at a different time in your life, like in the American Weather commercial.
Right.
That actually happened, or you dated them, or
so
I'm now at the age where when we called the heating guy over for the first time for our new condo, I was stunned. He was dead gorgeous. I found myself at the end saying, so you'll be the one coming to fix our furnace all the time, right, Chris?
This furnace is very fussy. You may have to come back several times.
Never seen his face again.
Right. I had a very cute furnace guy show up out in Princeton. I would call a company that had a lot of people that worked in a lot of cities, so you never knew who was going to show up, but this kid showed up, and I just kept saying, you're 70. Stop it. You're 70. But, yeah, I wonder how often that happens outside of porn movies. You know?
Right.
Usually, here's the furnace man.
Wait,
and then the music starts, the bad trumpet music starts, saxophone music starts, and, you know, 312-981-7200. If outside of a porn movie, you have had,
or
let's be gender specific.
Porn movie and your role was to fall in love with
it's
that
not
person.
It's not usually a woman who shows up to fix your furnace. It's usually a guy or your plumbing or whatever. So let's just say the guy shows up. Have you ever, like American Weathermakers, went, well, hello?
And if you didn't marry him or didn't, you know, maybe started dating him, maybe came over for a cup of coffee or whatever it was, you know. Because, I mean, for us to know two people that that happened to, I think that would be a scenario.
Sure, it has to happen. Sure. It has to happen.
Right.
Somewhat routinely. Or if you are on the other side, if you are the furnace guy,
and some lady makes a pitch for you.
Exactly. Hey, would you like some coffee when you're done with my filter?
Don't bother pulling up your pants over your butt.
A girlfriend from 312 said, a friend's friend had an affair with the lawn guy. I'm sure She kept her hedges trimmed. That's like a bad joke from Sisters. Sisters is apparently what Amy Poehler and Tina Fey did to pay the rent. But there's these whole line of bad jokes with this guy that's working in the garden about trimming their hedges. And 708's a little concerned, says, hey, my son just got a job as a furnace repairman.
Is he married? Maybe this
she
is the
did
path.
Not say. She or he did not say. So,
and I wonder if you're the wife of someone who walks into homes where it's usually during the daytime. It's more likely to be a woman that answers. It doesn't have to be.
Right.
If you, it's ever made you nervous because your husband or boyfriend is like a really good-looking guy.
Well, here comes Elisa. Hi, Elisa.
Hi, girls.
Hi. How can you relate to this conversation?
Well, years ago when I was 16, my girlfriend called me up and she says, oh my gosh, this refrigerator man is over. You've got to come over and see him. So I ran over there and sure enough, I mean, he was tall and handsome. He was like the brawny guy, magnificent. And so Carolyn and I proceeded to flirt with him, each of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then, and her parents weren't home. And so then she says, you know what? Why don't you come over tonight? And the guy says, oh, sure. And so he comes over and he brings a friend. Carolyn and I are there with one other girl. And he goes back and forth between the two of us in different rooms, kind of as we're all kind of talking and we each go to different rooms, and next with us. And, I mean, I know when I look back, I think, oh, my gosh, how dangerous was this that we did this. But that guy must have had a time of his life. And that was the first time for me that I ever, like, was really aroused by a guy.
By a repairman of some sort.
And was it the refrigerator guy that did it for you or his friend?
Oh, it was the refrigerator guy. And, oh, my gosh, he was something else. And he really knew what he was doing, and I didn't know anything. And
refrigerator-wise.
And otherwise. Yeah. Speaking of.
Right.
If he had invited me into his van, I mean, and I was very naive, I probably would have gone into that van. At least he behaved himself to some degree. But,
wow.
We still laugh about it. That's the refugee man.
How old do you think he was? Do you think he was 18 or was he 30?
No, he was in his mid-20s, if not a little bit older.
Okay, an older man indeed.
Interesting.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks, Elisa.
Happens to them a lot.
From the text line, good morning. Ooh, 1989, recently divorced, plumber, beautiful, did the work, plus. My mother fixed my sister up with the mailman. Does that count?
Sure.
And as a cop, the closest porn movie moments I have experienced is with horny drunk women who smell like cigarettes and were possibly hot 10 to 20 years ago. Ooh. My husband really was a drop-dead gorgeous electrician 20 years ago. He would go on house service calls, and women really would hit on him. They would answer the door in their robes. So,
if I answered the door in my robe, it would not be a pretty look. I don't have a negligee. Do you have a negligee?
No.
Did you ever
own a negligee?
People still
do that. I did. Didn't you get a negligee for your wedding night?
No.
Okay. I did. It's like a yellow thing. You know.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Lace?
Whatever. Whatever. 312-981-7200. Call us or text us. We're talking about, we're spinning off the American Weathermakers commercial where the woman says she fell in love with the guy who came to fix her furnace. And we're just wondering if any of you had any of those moments as well. 312-981-7200.
When you kiss me, be the one you hold me tight.
Excellent. Bob Ferguson gets us all the time. We're talking about something we heard in the American Weatherman commercial, which was the owner of the company apparently met his wife when he went over to fix her furnace. And so she, it triggered whether or not this has happened before, because Kathy and I knew two people to whom it did happen. Those were carpenters.
Right.
And this is Doug. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug. Hey, Doug.
Did you want to hear my story?
We do. Let's hear it.
Hello.
Hello, Doug.
Are you coming in? Are you going to tell us your story?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm on a comm pilot, and I'm driving. If you want, I'll pull over, and I can use my regular phone.
I think we would But yeah, I think we would like that, but how are you going to switch from your Palm Pilot to your regular phone?
Hello.
Doug, I'll tell you what. We're going to put you on hold, and Mike's going to reconnect with you and see if we can't get a better connection for you. In the meantime, here's Wanda. Hey, Wanda.
Hi.
Hi. Let's hear your story.
Oh, yeah. My experience. My husband was a journeyman plumber.
Mm-hmm.
And in the house, he had a lot of customers that were single women, and we used to laugh about it because the line was, do what you have to do, get the money, and get out.
Nothing was appealing.
Wait, did you provide him with that line, or was it something he came up with himself?
I think it was something the kids and myself thought up. I mean, my husband probably was the most faithful, loving, wonderful, gorgeous man that ever lived. But it was just a riot because, first of all, I think in those days, and I'm talking 30, 40 years ago, in those days, I don't think people realized how many single women owned property, and they really didn't know what to do with it. They didn't know who to trust as mm-hmm. somebody to come in and do something.
Right.
And my husband, he was somebody who was very honest. He was a super tradesman. And
because he was honest.
I think being honest, aside from gorgeous, and he treated them with respect. But the line in the house was, one of your women's on the phone. And I'd say he's going out. Just remember, get in, do what you have to do, get the money, and get out.
Okay. There you go. Thanks, Wanda.
This is Tweety. Okay.
All right, thanks. And this is from the other side. This is Jim, the electrician. Hi, Jim.
Good morning,
Jim.
Did you get hit on?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because, yes, I have quite a few times, but recently I went to a house up on the north side. First of all, girls, I love your show.
Thank you.
A staunch Irish Catholic from Beverly, and this blew my mind because, you know, you hear people talk about stuff like this, and then when it happens to you, it's like, oh, my gosh, can I tell you what happened?
Please.
That would be how
a talk show works.
Oh, thank you.
All right, let's hear it.
I'm just excited to be on there. Okay, so I go to the home to go, you know, do some electrical upgrade. Never met the customer. I walk in the door. It's a very attractive young lady. I'm used to that. Not a big deal. No big deal. Good morning. How are you? I'm Jim, here to do your electric. Within half an hour, she's walking around, and all of a sudden this girl starts, she's crying. So, I mean, I'm a normal, caring human being. I said, is everything okay? I mean, do you want me to leave? Is something wrong? I just went through a terrible breakup with my boyfriend, and I said, oh, well, you know, these things happen. I've been married for 20 years. There's ups and downs and peaks and valleys, you know. If it's meant to be, it will be. She goes, are you into kinky sex? And on my father's grave, I look at her, I go, well, not this morning. No, I go, you're kind of catching me off guard. You're kind of freaking me out. She goes, I'm into bondage. And I think you are too. You just don't know it. Now,
oh my God.
I'm on a stack of Bibles. I'm looking at this girl thinking to myself, oh my God, she's either nuts. I mean, it's her right to do what she wants to do. God bless her.
Sure.
But I was very uncomfortable because she started, like, coming on to me, like, walking towards me. I'm a 49-year-old, you know, I'm a decent-looking guy. My wife says I'm handsome, and apparently I am if she says so. But all of a sudden, I got really uncomfortable. I said, I don't mean to be, like, a weirdo or blow your trip, whatever you're on here, but either I need to leave or we need to get, like, a boundary here because I'm not going to cheat on my wife. And again, truth be told, she was gorgeous. I didn't know if I was being punked. I said, am I on one of those TV shows where there's like cameras punking me or something, looking to see if I'm on some type of a, you know,
yeah,
how I would react to this or something.
So how did it end?
Did you fix her electricity?
Did you give her a safe word? Huh?
Here's what I got a safe word. Oh boy, you guys know more than me. No, what I did was this. I said, how about if we do this? She goes, what's that? She got really excited. I go, I'm going to give you a hug, like a fatherly, gentlemanly hug that says, you're going to be okay with your relationship, and please don't get me in trouble, blow my job, or freak me out, or ruin my marriage, or put me in the trick bag. I was so weirded out. I said, then she's like, okay, great, great. She stopped the fake crying thing, and I did this. I said, you know what? I have to run out and grab a tool real quick out of my van. I went outside and called my wife. I go, you're not going to believe what happened to me. My wife goes, oh, you're so full of you-know-what. Yeah, right. That really happened. I said, I swear to God, she didn't believe me. And it's so true. I have five better things to do than to make up that story, but I always listen to your show.
Was that the only, is in all your years of making connections
and being handsome
and being good looking, was that the only time you've ever been hit on?
Not even close, no.
Okay, it happened a lot.
When I was younger, when I came out of the Marine Corps and before I was married, it was like a, honestly, it could really serve a purpose because I don't know what it is. I mean, maybe like women are attracted to guys in uniform, maybe some women are attracted to tradesmen. But yeah, no, I've been hit on quite a few times and when I was younger, I did accept once or twice, but
before you were married.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Before I was married. I mean, no, I always tell the young guys that I work with, some young good looking guys, I tell them all the time, don't get yourself in trouble. If you love someone, you gotta be straight up about it. Because,
okay.
You know,
Jim, when you were younger, before you were married and you said you accepted a couple times, did you accept in the home where you were doing the work, or did you arrange to meet later?
Once in the home and once in the, actually in the Pedway by Boulevard Towers, north and south off of Michigan Avenue.
Oh, my God. So,
in the Pedway?
nobody was around. It was nighttime. It was really, really wild. And those were the very early, or late 80s, early 90s.
Up against the wall.
You spend money on a hotel room.
It was one of those. It was a very spontaneous thing. You want me to tell you how it happened? Here's how it began. The girl said to me, she goes, she was a customer of mine.
Uh-huh.
And I would watch guys hit on her all the time. She was a receptionist.
Uh-huh.
And I had to check in with her every day when I went into their suite to do work. So she says to me, would you like to go out for a drink? And I said, yeah, why not? You know, back then, why not? On a Friday, out for a drink and after work, and went out for a couple margaritas, and we're walking back through the Pedway. It was wintertime. And she goes, I have to ask you a question. I go, sure, go ahead.
Okay, careful.
She goes, you're not going to be angry. I said, I don't think I'll be angry. Please go ahead and ask me a question. Now, we were friends for about a year, like friends, you know. She goes, are you gay? And I looked at her, and I said, why would you ask me? It was, like, funny. I didn't, you know. I go, why would you ask me that? She goes, you've never hit on me. I've never seen you check me out. She goes, it's almost like you make a point not to. I said, well, did you ever think maybe I'm, you know, like attracted to you, but I was kind of raised to be a gentleman and not be a weirdo about it.
Okay, get to the point here, Jim.
And within 15 seconds, yes, against the wall.
In the Pedway.
On my father's grave.
Are you smiling right now?
Yes, I am in my rearview mirror, and if you were behind me, you'd say, what's wrong with this guy?
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
Have a great day. Great show, ladies.
All right. Thank you for contributing to it. This is Jack, the carpenter. Oh, you're a carpet man, not a carpenter.
Well, I was a carpet layer installer.
Oh, okay.
Half the job was taken care of.
Yes.
Yes. That was years ago, and I did a lot of jobs that were, I really didn't advertise. It was word of mouth. And there was a few instances, nothing like what the previous caller stated, that the women were just like, wow, I can't even concentrate. And it really made me uncomfortable because you know how one thing leads to another. I'm trying to be professional, and the thought always came in my mind, what if the husband comes home early and catches me doing something that I shouldn't be doing, or even trying to explain something to the woman while I'm on my knees or something, pitching carpet.
So you just said, I'm here to lay carpet.
Yes, and when they saw how, when you're on your knees and there's a lot of, how can I say, gluteus maximus action.
Yeah.
It's a good physical shape. You know, it's not like I've ever caught a woman peeking around the corner looking, but that thought always went through my mind, like, okay.
She's checking out my butt.
What?
Is she checking out my butt?
Well, when you're doing that type of work, you're kicking, and you got to have strong legs, thighs, and calves.
Right.
And the thing about that, I used to wear shorts because it was more comfortable doing that type of work because my pants, your legs would sweat, and they would tear.
Okay, this is getting really attractive.
When was the last time you got hit on when you were out laying carpet?
Oh, not exactly hit on, but I made a point to not
not be in that position because I didn't want to ruin the business that I have or had. And it's just, again, I was married at the time.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it's just kind of like I stayed as professional as I can because you don't want to be dumping where you eat, put it that way. So
there you go. All right.
Something like that.
Well, thank you, Jack. We're glad you were listening.
All right.
All right.
Do we have time for Jean?
Bye. Huh?
Do we have time for Jean?
If she makes it really fast. Jean?
Hello, I'll make it quick.
Okay.
Okay. When I was about 30 years ago, I had a Maytag repairman come over to fix the dishwasher.
I just see that guy, Jesse.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
My God, the guy was drop dead gorgeous. My chin was on the floor. I had to pick it up when he came in. And, you know, I was at the time, well, I'm still married to this very nice white-collar worker, but if this guy asked me to hop in his truck back then, that is, and go and help him make service calls, I would have been gone.
But you didn't.
No, I didn't.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jean. And on the text line, why do we have to listen to these guys' BS life stories? I feel like these men are all just making up fantasy stories. Dear Penthouse. Kathy and Judy back. You know our number. It's 312-981-7200. You can call us or you can text us. We're trying to keep track of the text line as well, and there have been some great ones.
And I think you're doing a good job of it because I can't see it on my computer, and you're doing good.
Oh, thank you, Judy.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much. One of the things that we said we would talk about today was things you leave in cabs. Now, surely we have girlfriends who listen
not
to that and go.
Not including your virginity.
Right. Wow. I wonder if that would apply to anybody. Like, first time in the backseat of a cab?
Oh, L. I wouldn't doubt it.
You mean that there are people who would have left their virginity in a cab?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well, we're talking about somewhat more mundane items. Judy and I each, on separate occasions, left the same thing in the back of a cab, and that was our folder that we keep with our show topics. As the day and the week goes on, we see something that's of interest, we print it up or we make a note, and we stick it in our folder. So that when we're here talking with you, we have a bunch of stuff to choose from, and you look and think, well, that was seemed interesting at the time, but now it's not. So I left mine in a cab, and I never got it back because I never think to remember what kind of cab I was in. There's 120 kinds. And I'm not sure if the cab companies have a group lost and found. Now, you left. Well, there's Flash and Yellow and Yo Mama Cab. I mean, there's so many cab companies that certainly if you take cabs a lot, there's no way. I used to, after I once left something in a cab years ago, I used to look when I got out of a cab at what color it was and what the number was. Because I thought, I'll realize within a minute or two that I've left something in the cab. So you'd think rather than look in the back seat and make sure I didn't leave anything in the cab, I would look at the cab number so that I could remember it when I realized I'd left something in it.
And now you can't remember numbers.
Right, of course. You recovered yours.
Yes, but it was in a black bag I carry with me with the same kind of stuff inside. But I have a tag on the outside of the bag. And it says Judy, and then it has my cell number. So the next person who gets in the cab is going to say, hey, somebody left this. First, they're going to look and see if there's money, probably.
Sure.
But since there's only papers, and so the cab driver kindly left a message with his number, and it was during the course of the show, actually, or maybe it was before, that we went back and forth how we were going to meet, and he drove back here. And the interesting thing was he was embarrassed by my having given him an reward.
Why?
I don't know. He felt it was crazy. I gave him $20.
As you should.
And
right.
He was shaking his head and shaking his head. And I said, no, this was really great. You saved my butt. And best of all, you know, it's the holidays. Just let me do this.
Right.
You know.
Thank you. I needed this. Right.
Right.
Well, 312-981-7200, have you ever left anything in a cab of importance, and did you get it back? This is Priscilla. Hi, Priscilla.
Hi.
Hi. What did you leave in a cab?
Well, my friend accompanied me downtown one day, and she left a very expensive pair of eyeglasses and didn't realize that we were gone for several hours. So we backtracked our steps, and would you believe we ended up finding the same cab driver, and there were her glasses.
No.
She was so happy, she wanted to give him every penny she had in her pocket.
And did he take it?
No, he wouldn't take it. He was just happy to have found the person that they had belonged to.
Okay.
You mean
of all the cab drivers in the city of Chicago, we found the cab driver. Just sheer luck.
Absolutely, or someone was watching over you.
Absolutely.
Right.
I felt so bad I was going to take her and get her glasses, and she paid a lot for them, and she needed them. And she just happened to take them off to rub her eye and didn't realize she laid them down.
Wow, she lucked out on that one. Thanks, Priscilla.
She sure did. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You have a great day, and I'm glad you guys are back.
We are, too. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
312-981-7200 is our number. Speaking of glasses, at the holidays, I was thinking of buying a cool pair of sunglasses for one of the grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
There's a standard price for cool sunglasses. It's ridiculous.
What is it, like $400?
No, it's $150.
Wow.
You go to the sunglass section of most any store, and there's, who's the one that does all the purses?
Louis Vuitton?
Well, those and
Prada.
I don't know if it's Tory Burch or whatever. Just whatever sunglasses there were with a brand name or a designer name on them, $150. I wonder if they are this week. I wonder if all those sunglasses that were that price before Christmas are still that expensive.
What were you hoping to buy? These guys don't have prescription, right?
No, right. Just a cool pair of sunglasses. Just a pair of sunglasses, and they go, oh, Grandma, this is really cool. But I didn't spend that. I didn't spend all that much. So 312-981-7200. What have you left in a purse or in a cab? And a lot of people have left. What was the story about some guy that left a $4 million violin in a cab? How do you do that? How do you do that?
How do you not attach it to your body?
Exactly. And I mentioned in the promo, Roberta Flack once left all the digital copies of a new album that she was putting together in a cab. Just stuff like that. Now, this is Marty. Hi, Marty. Who left what in a cab?
My wife and I were running late for a wedding, and we jumped out of the cab, and she left her purse in the cab and didn't realize it till we got into church and ran out, and the cab was gone. So we lingered outside a little while, and he came back and brought the purse and would not take any money, or he refused to, and it gave me such a good sense of humanity that, you know, there are honest people out there.
Right. Yeah, I'll bet. Thank you, Marty.
Isn't Japan famous for returning these things?
Japan?
The people in Japan, when you leave something in a vehicle, that they make efforts to get back to you.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe I made that up.
Well, maybe it was one of those videos where they leave things on the street in different countries and see which country people are nicer in. Right?
I don't know. Is that on National Geographic or something?
I don't know. It just sounds like something that would be on a video. 312-981-7200. Give us a call. Give us a text. This is Beverly. Hi, Beverly.
Hi. Are you talking about things left in the cabs?
Yes, we are.
We still are.
Are you?
Yes, I am. I had my whole family in the cab one time. My grandson was like 2, and we were getting out at the Field Museum. And he was rushing ahead, and I was worried he was going to get hit, and I left my purse in the car. And so I tried to call the cab driver, and we couldn't get in touch with him. I finally called the police just to report it. That night, like 9:30, the cab driver called and said he had my purse.
Wow.
And my husband met him the next morning downtown. We live on the far west side, and we gave him a $50.
Good for you. Good for you.
Terrific. Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what we're talking about. Thank you. One of our girlfriends emailed us and said, I once got a handshake reward for returning a $45,000 cash in a briefcase. A handshake. That's unbelievable to me.
Let's talk about $45,000 worth of cash in a briefcase. That had to have been a gangster.
Or a drug dealer.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Who
carries that around?
Right.
Right. Maybe Kim Kardashian. We were talking about leaving things in cabs and buses, et cetera. And Judy mentioned something about she heard that in Japan, they're very honest in Japan. And one of our texters said, it's true. I heard during the big earthquake in Japan, people returned $450 million of money and valuables to their owners. Plus, Japan has the lowest murder rate in the world. So, anyway, 312-981-7200, things you've left in cabs. Anne, what did you leave?
This is my favorite.
Yes.
I'm just trying to tell you.
No, I didn't leave this item. This was an Irish Setter dog, and this girl left it at a dog show, and my girlfriend and I were packing up our stuff and getting ready to leave. And I said to her, I looked over, and there's this dog, Irish Setter dog, in this crate sitting there, and we knew the girl that was in that area. And I said to her, how in the world would you leave a dog at a dog show? I mean, the animal's got to be either moving around or barking or something.
Right.
And anyway, my girlfriend said, oh, we'll take it and we'll bring it to her. And I said, how are we going to find her? I mean, I know where she lives, where she's at, in the town she's at, but I don't know where she would be after this dog show. She may go to get something to eat. I don't know. But anyway, we packed the dog up in the van, in a crate, and hauled it to this restaurant where we met this. I don't remember how in the world we connected with her, but we did get the dog back to her. But I said to her, how in the world would you leave this dog and forget it?
And what did she say?
She said, well, I just did. And I thought, yeah, and I'm glad it's not mine, my dog, because I'd be ready to kill her.
I'll bet.
I said to her, you know, it had to make noise. It had to move around. Don't you look back? When I leave a place, I have the habit of looking back to see if I left anything.
Especially your dog.
Exactly.
Right. Now, Ann, did you see Best in Show?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Rented.
Never mind.
It's okay. A great movie.
Yeah,
very,
you
very
might
funny.
Enjoy it if you do dog shows. Thanks, Ann.
Thank you. Have a good day, girl.
Thanks. 312-981-7200. Hey, okay. Barb.
Yes, I'm just looking at these calls.
Yeah.
We have Lynn, Wendy, and Linda. Why is it always women?
I don't know. Maybe men don't want to acknowledge that they left stuff somewhere. Barb, did you leave where?
Well, I was in Ireland 15 years ago with my family, and we were touring around in Shannon, and I lost my camera in the cab. So then the tour bus, we were on to our next site the next day to Killarney, and all of a sudden my brother is taking a picture of me with what looked like my camera. And I'm like, Mark, that looks like my camera. He said, it is. I go, how did you get it? He called the cab company and had another tour bus company take it in their tour bus and bring it on their next stop to Killarney. So from Shannon to Killarney, I got my camera back.
Lucky you.
I couldn't believe it.
Nice brother.
You lucked out on that one. Barb? I don't know where we lost
you
Barb.
You left your voice in airspace.
Apparently. my husband and I were on our way to the airport after attending a conference in New Orleans. When we got out of the cab, neither of us could find our plane tickets. So we bought new tickets and got the plane. On Monday, when my husband went to work, one of his coworkers handed him our lost tickets. He had gotten into a cab and found our tickets in the cab.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Random again.
Random acts of finding. This is another camera story. This is Lynn. Hey, Lynn.
Hi.
Where'd you leave your camera?
Well, my husband and I went on our anniversary in Italy a few years ago, and we stopped in London for a few days on our way home. The last night, we took a cab to dinner, and we were going into the restaurant, just had been seated, when this man, who turned out to be our cab driver, walked in with my camera.
Oh.
We had no idea that we left it. We were so shocked. He left before we even had time to say thank you. All of our memories of our trip were on that camera.
Oh, my gosh. And you didn't think to pull out $5 or $10 to give to him?
Well, he left. I mean, he's like almost dropped my last lap and turned around and left. I mean, I didn't
Oh, gosh.
Even
wow.
have time to say thank you. It was so gracious. I you know, we kept thinking, you think American cab drivers would have done this.
Wow. Yeah. You lucked
but
out.
They do.
Yeah.
So that's what we're hearing. I mean, we're hearing
yes.
people, you
yeah.
know, having these
yeah. getting their stuff, yeah, getting
yeah.
their stuff back. Yeah.
yeah
thanks very much.
Uh-huh. Thank
okay.
You.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to line five.
Okay.
Ryan.
This is Ryan.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah, Ryan.
Hi. What'd you get back?
Well, I got my grandma back.
Did she just
help us out?
Seated the cab?
So my grandmother and grandfather were on a road trip down to Southern Illinois. And on the way back, Grandpa needed to stop at a rest stop, and my grandma was sleeping in the back seat, and so he turned to her and said, you need to use the restroom. She said no, so he got out and went and did his business in the restroom. Meanwhile, while he was in the restroom, she decided, you know what, I'll go ahead and go. So she went out, and Grandfather returned to the car and went just on down the road. 100 miles later, a state trooper pulled my grandfather over and had my grandmother for her because he left her at the rest stop and didn't even know it.
Wow.
She was in the back sleeping under a blanket.
Wow. Wasn't there something like that in Vacation?
I don't know. I missed that one.
In the Chevy Chase? Whatever. All right. Well, glad you got your grandma back.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, Ryan.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Really?
They still up?
Listen
oh, no. Is this where we're going?
We are. I'm walking down the street now, and we're at January 7th. It isn't the most egregious, but when you're still leaving your balls on your cactus, your Christmas balls on your cactus.
Is that
a thing? When it's the 25th, but really now in 2016, it really looks stupid.
So the topic is cactus balls.
No. I'm expanding.
Oh, okay.
We always, you know, we've done things where we call on behalf of neighbors and all this sort of stuff. However, you know, neighbors who would like their neighbors to take down their inflatable dead on the ground
sure.
Santa Claus.
Snowman and stuff like that. Right.
And I heard a thing this week that was stunning, and it was about a person who has had her tree up for 4 years.
And just changes the decorations to the season.
I didn't hear any, I just heard that, you know, Lois Farquhart has been keeping her tree up for 4 years. Now, is that what people do if they keep it up?
Well, I think, certainly Steve and Johnny have seasonal trees. Right now, Johnny's probably
getting ready for Valentine's
Day. Right, exactly. And then for St. Patrick's Day. And then what comes next? Easter. And then Memorial Day, 4th of July. What else? Labor Day.
Well, I would like to talk to people who do this and who, what is the good feeling that it gives them? Because, first of all, I mean, it's a big piece of plastic sitting in your house, and how would you feel if it came down? Like it wasn't the holiday?
Is it such an integral part of the decor and the layout that it would just feel weird to have it gone?
Right. I mean, everybody lives a different life. We all know this. But is it something that you could see yourself being able to pull back from? Or not that you should, but what on earth, and how dusty that must get. Can you dust one of those trees? Didn't you used to have a plastic tree?
I don't believe I ever did. You mean a fake tree?
Yeah.
I don't think it was plastic.
What's it made out of?
I don't know. Some kind of fibrous material that's supposed to imitate evergreen boughs.
Yeah, but not real. I mean, whether it's resin or plastic.
Right. Yeah, it's a fake tree.
Right.
Right, as opposed to a real tree.
Right.
Right.
And
this is are we going to declare this a safe zone for people? Because
I think it's only fair.
Okay.
I don't think we can ridicule them. It's not in the spirit.
Okay.
Of what the holiday and New Year ostensibly stand for.
Right.
Were you feeling the need to ridicule?
Well, no. I mean, neither of us can personally relate to the concept of keeping a tree up all year round and decorating it for the seasons, for many different seasons.
And then what does it wear in the summer? A little 4th of July, and then you're stuck. You're always stuck for the next holiday. If that's what they all do. Now, see, that never occurred to me, Kathy.
What? That you would decorate according to the holidays?
Right. That you would leave it up for any other thing than just keeping a Christmas tree up.
No. No. I'm sure that we have several girlfriends listening who, even now, are beginning to, as I said, accumulate their Valentine's ornaments. So 312-981-7200. You can call us or you can text us, and this is a safe zone for you.
For you, year-long Christmas people. We really promise. I don't think anyone trusts us.
Not on this particular thing. Perfect.
The year-long standing Christmas tree and what happens to it during the course of the year. Does it change outfits? According to holidays, do you leave it up with a full Christmas look? This is Janet on line one. Janet?
Hello.
Hi, Janet.
Hi. Okay, we said we're not yelling at you. We want to know what you do with your tree all year. Is it in the living room?
No, I put up four trees.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, I put up four trees, but I keep the one in my basement in my little corner where I watch TV. I keep that up all year long, and I've had it up for maybe 3 years now.
Okay, so it's always wearing Christmas.
Yeah.
It's always Christmas.
It's just
at your corner of the world.
Yep. Well, when I go downstairs and watch TV, I like the Italian lights. Mm-hmm. It only has white poinsettia, you know, fake flowers on it, but it's just kind of a very calming way to get away from everything.
So when did you started doing this 3 years ago? Initially a labor-saving move, or it's too pretty to take down, or what was it?
It was very pretty to take down, but a flock tree can also be very messy.
Yes, because you drop.
God, I haven't seen a flock tree in so long.
Is it a white flock?
Yep. I mean, it's initially a green tree, and then it was sprayed with flock, you know, that white stuff. So it looks like snow.
I know what it is. Right. Just who invented flock?
How many years have you had that?
Three.
It's only about 3 years old. I bought it 3 years ago,
and
I knew it would be messy, so I keep it down there.
So you just keep it there year round.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, and that makes you happy.
It does. So, you know, whatever floats your boat, and
it's floating. All right, great.
Okay,
thank you,
Janet. Thank you. And this is
Cheryl.
Cheryl?
Yes, this is Cheryl.
It is?
I just wanted to share that I've had a Christmas tree up. I have since taken it down. But keeping it up, we made it a memory tree. We did a lot of traveling, and we would collect souvenirs. Where do you put them? And we ended up using keychains as part of the memories that we would have.
Keychains that you bought on your travels? Hello?
Hello?
Cheryl, can you hear us? Cheryl?
Hello?
Cheryl? Okay, so
this is like in the early days when people would call on their cell phones.
Remember the ad? Can you hear me now?
Right.
Can you hear me now? Sandy, can you hear us now?
Oh, hi. This is Sandy. Yes. I thought you were saying Cheryl.
No,
we were.
My, I put my tree up in the fall and decorate it with fall flowers. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I decorate it for Christmas. And then I decorate it for Valentine's Day, which it's decorated now. Then I decorate it for St. Patrick's Day and Mardi Gras. And then I decorate it for Easter. And then I take it down.
Oh, so you're not willing to wait for the next holiday, which is probably the 4th of July.
Or Memorial Day.
There's so much going on in the summer that then I don't really, the days are longer, and I don't really need the lights and the decorations because there's things blooming outside. So then I could spray it off outside in the yard, let it dry, and then bring it back in the house until fall.
What do you mean spray it?
Spray it with water. Clean it, all the dust off of it.
So you do have a plastic tree.
I don't know if it's actually plastic, but it's artificial and it's tall and thin.
Because it seems like if it weren't plastic, that it wouldn't respond that well
to
being sprayed with the hose.
Well, it seems to.
It seems to be fine with it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right. All right. That's what we're looking for, Sandy. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right. And this is Jill. It's not her house, but, sorry. It's her sister-in-law's house. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Jill. This is Jill. I'm from Chicago. My sister-in-law, however, lives in northern Idaho, and she keeps a tree up year-round, which I was horrified to hear that because she's very fastidious and such a decorator. But I had to see it to believe it. Now, this is in the North Woods, so mm-hmm. her home is kind of lodge sort of decoration, and this tree is part of kind of the furnishings, and she does every holiday, and it's lovely. Cornucopias and things like that at Thanksgiving, you know, all the things you can do with Halloween. But she is a holiday junkie as far as decorating. Mm-hmm. And she hit the slipper. And I'm telling you, it is really, really nice. I had to see it to believe it.
Now, what does she do in the summer? Have you been up there in Idaho?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There's, you know, there's 4th of July, and that's just kind of one thing. But summer flowers, like she goes to Michael's and to Joanne's, whatever, and gets beautiful white daisies and red geraniums and things like that.
And it's in the living room.
In the living room, yes, as you walk in.
The closest I come to decorating for the seasons has to do with wreaths, which I learned from Judy is a Gentile thing. Mm-hmm. Do you have wreaths, yes. Jill?
I do have wreaths, and I my Jewish friend told me that that it is a Gentile thing.
Right.
That it has to do with the cross or the crown of thorns.
Oh, I didn't know that. Bummer.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Well, I didn't know that either.
Nor did I. But, take it or leave it. All right, thank you, Jill.
Okay, sure.
Okay. Now, this is not that different from what a previous caller was telling us. Kate, what do you do with your tree?
Hi. Well, it's a little different that I don't switch things out. We had a small, like, thin apartment-sized tree that we had put on the back porch, the sun porch, and just never took down just because we were lazy. And then one day I thought, I've got this keychain collection from keychains from all over the world. And so I've decorated the whole tree with these keychains. And it's just really cool because otherwise they were just in a box.
Yeah, one of our previous callers said they do the same thing, and they call it their memory tree.
Yeah, and one summer my sister-in-law was sitting on the back porch with me, and she goes, Kate, really, you haven't taken down your tree yet? And I said, no, look, they're keychains. And it's really
not
cool.
Christmas.
I've got them from, you know, Panama, South America, Dubai. I mean, all over the place. People bring them to me. I don't go all that places.
Oh, they know you're collecting.
They know I collect. Yeah.
How many would you venture that you've got?
Oh, probably well over 100. And then I have a PowerPoint. I'm kind of obsessive. I've got a PowerPoint that shows a picture of the keychain and who gave it to me when.
Wow.
How do your closets look? I bet they're real tidy.
No, I spend too much time on the keychains.
Wow. Now, when I moved, I love to have things in my garden from other people's gardens. And my friend Diane Gibson would take everything that's in her garden is... She has a piece of paper. Jude, do you have your speaker on?
Who, me?
No, Judy Markey. Do you have your speaker on there, Jude? I'm getting feedback. Okay. It's the phone. It's the phone. Kate, I'm gonna let you go because we're getting feedback on your line.
Great. I'm loving that you guys are back.
Oh, thank you. We are too.
Okay. Bye bye.
Okay. And where the hell was I going with that?
You were talking about your friend Diane.
Oh, that's right. Diane, for every plant she gave me, and I think she gave me 9 or 10, she had a sheet of paper that had what the common name was, what the botanical name was, who she got it from.
The provenance of the plant.
Is that what it's called?
Uh-huh.
The history of it? Who she got it from, where it did well, in sun or in shade, and I thought, holy smokes, I just dig stuff out of my garden and say, here, take this. It's a whatchamacallit. Here's an anemone or whatever it is. But she is so organized, like our previous caller, with her, what did she say, PowerPoint?
Mm-hmm.
For her keychains.
Mm-hmm.
Where she got it, where it came from, who sent it. All I can say is, yikers.
You know what I did this week, speaking of organized?
What's that?
I'm organizing my bookmarks in my computer.
Okay.
I make a lot of bookmarks.
Okay.
And so I have recipes with movies, with things maybe for the
radio. So you're just putting things in folders so that they're easily accessible.
I think I have 800 things to go.
Okay. That's how I am with pictures. If somebody says, do you have that? My brother last week sent a text and said, does anybody have that picture of me in a high chair when I was little and had casts on my legs? Paul had pigeon toes, and they would cast both of his feet. I said, yeah, I think I've got it. Went into my Picasso file, zip-zop, there it was. So almost any picture I've ever taken or been given,
So you're organized photographically?
Yeah. My closets are a mess.